Blog Talk Radio.
It's powerful, gripping, and moving. It will bring you to tears, and while you're really driving to celebrate through your pain. That sums up my thoughts about this week's television miniseries, Roots, on the History Channel. For some, it's an unnecessary reminder of the past. For others, it's a troubling account of the strength and resilience of Black people who endured and survived the brutality of American slavery. On today's show, we'll unpack the wide range of emotions with my special guest, clinical psychologist Dr. Linda Morris Parham. She'll help us examine why this miniseries is impossible for some to watch, while helping others to understand why race is still a thorny issue in this country. I vividly remember getting my young family squared away at bedtime before watching every installment of Roots back in 1977. Now, some 40 years later, I've rearranged my own personal schedule at night to watch this newer version that's equally as powerful and painful at the same time. Join us today for this conversation of our past, our present, and our future through roots of our ancestors' legacy. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I thank you for listening either in the chat room or live or as an archive. Well, since I work in the diversity space and have been for almost 30 years, I had seen the original version of Roots in 1997, as I said in the program setup, show setup. I thought, well, this is going to be more of the same. But because of technology and my participation in another social media platform called Blab, I actually listened to a colleague's show. This is a live video streaming version of the show, and I got involved, and I said, no, I have to be involved in this conversation. So one thing led to another, and then I committed to actually watch all of the episodes this week that are actually broadcasting on the History Channel. Now, if you go to my blog, which is tellcarole.com, that's TellCarole.com, go to today's blog. This is June 2nd. You'll be able to connect yourself to the History Channel and some other important links related to Roots, which is the program that we're actually discussing today. Roots was originally aired and broadcast in 1977, which is 39 years ago. I was much younger. I was married. I had a child at that point. I was living in a different city. And I can remember getting my young baby off to bed and getting her tucked away so I could watch Roots. It was that important. It was an evening pilgrimage for many, many Blacks all over the United States and whites as well. And it literally took off the scab of slavery that had not been discussed in this way. Person's perspective, Alex Haley, who had been able to trace his roots back to the ancestral days in Africa, in probably Gambia, we're thinking that that's the country that he came from, never had been done and depicted that way by an African-American, not an anthropologist or some white person who had done research, but actually by a person who could trace his roots back to Africa. So it was a very nuanced kind of experience that we could all connect with, all of us who were African-Americans. So fast forward all these years later, Kunta Kinte, et cetera, Alex Haley, LeVar Burton decided, he was the original performer who played Kunta Kinte, the ancestral person in the Alex Haley family. LeVar Burton is an actor. And so he decided, I want to do a remake for a number of different reasons. I want it to relate to younger people. And so the storyline has pretty much remained the same, although some of the fictionalized versions of the story have been added in. This is my perspective. But it does not take away from the raw experience that you have regarding Roots. So I thought immediately, I have to bring in a psychologist who can help us to dissect and unpack all that we're experiencing, those of us who are choosing to watch this, so I could really get a clinical perspective of what we make of this whole miniseries Roots and what it means about our country and this ever-important topic of race and slavery and discrimination that so many people want to run away from. We want to talk about that today in this whole version, this television version of Roots. She is a licensed psychologist, trainer, and teacher in the areas of clinical, family, and community psychology. I do appreciate her coming on the show. She had a whole full bank of clients she had to see yesterday. She's a very busy woman, but certainly well-versed in this topic. And so without further ado, I want to say hello to my friend, Dr. Linda Morris-Parham. Thank you for coming on Focus on Empowerment. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Carol. How are you? And I am so glad you asked me to come on and to be a part of this conversation with you. I think it's an important one, and I think, as you mentioned, anytime we embrace the topic of slavery, I don't think we offer ourselves the opportunity to do it in its fullness. We come and we get the knowledge and the new information, but it's about something that is so painful for all of us that we're just sort of left with the pain. And as many times in our lives, no one is there to give us a model or give us the conversation or the words to help us deal with the pain and to manage the pain. So I'm so glad for this opportunity to do that.
Well, I'm glad that you're here again because of your experience. I know that you've worked in terms with rape survivors and people who have been involved with domestic violence. Some of that has inklings into race and gender issues. So I thought you were really the perfect person to come on. And you're also in the faith world. So we're members, full disclosure, we're both members of Bethel AME Church here in Boston. But you actively have a leadership role and have the abilities and the real talent of being able to unpack some of the emotions that people feel with these various issues. Well, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Parham, why would, let's say, I'm going to two-part question. Why do you think an African-American won't want to watch Roots, and it's actually concluding tonight, but you can watch all the remakes, go to the website and get the links. Why would a black person not want to watch this? And then the second part of that question, why would a white person, do you think, wouldn't want to watch Roots?
You know, Carol, I want to say that everybody embraces this story of slavery for us as Americans in their own way. And I think that's when we sit down and we see some people are excited to embrace it and some people are really resistant and hesitant to embrace it. In the 70s, when the original Roots came out, we have to remember that we didn't have as much social media going on. And so it was really a historical moment for the country and really the world when Alex Haley decided to put these images and put the completeness of his story, his family story, out there. And it was really embraced as an American story. It was embraced as a story of African descent, but also a larger American story because Americans love migration. And all we really had as blacks in terms of television images, if we think back, we had Julia, we had Good Times, we had the black exploitation films, but we really didn't have a lot. And so this story was a part of the healing for not only blacks but the nation because it humanized our story of slavery. And one of the things I want the listeners to take away with is, you know, slavery has always been with people and with people who work or fight against other people. However, what makes the slavery in the United States so very different, it was an experience and a process all about the dehumanization of Africans. And so the whole setup of slavery was for the slave owners to not see us as humans as they were, but to dehumanize us. And when you see slavery in other places in the world and historically in other societies, it was really about slavery. It was about somebody coming, we fought you, you lost, okay, you have to come work for us. And it really didn't have that dehumanizing aspect. it. And I think that's what makes the American slavery so very, very shameful. And when you introduce this level of shame, because the images come right into your face, the black, white people and black people are looking at these, everyone is ashamed. I know, you know, when I first went to school and learned about slavery, I don't think my parents really taught me about slavery. I remember that book, and you probably remember that image of the slave ship with all the Africans stuffed in there.
Oh, sure,
and
the Middle Passage. Yes.
The Middle Passage. And so here you are as a child or whenever you first sort of get this information, and you're really left alone really managing it. And so the story of Roots, when it first came out, it humanized the experience and it humanized us, and it helped us as black people to really heal a deep, deep wound, which is we are a people without a home.
Mm-hmm.
We are people who, you know, other people came from wide places throughout the world, but they knew where they came from. Some of them came intentionally. Most of them came intentionally. And I think that's what sets our story as black Americans apart from every other story and every other national group that has come here is we came unwillingly.
And with that said, I mean, not only came unwillingly, but literally built the country. That's the extraordinary thing, that what was done is, I think, a very evil institution when you think about a person owning another person. And as you have said, from a dehumanizing perspective, but that very person you need to really contribute to your income, that's what's so insidious about it all. I wanted to ask you just quickly, this will be a whole new show about the skin color of black people and the origin of that skin color. It certainly is covered in Roots with Kizzy, who was raped by the master, who never stepped away from the fact that that was his child, Chicken George. But just that whole complex, really starting with the ship captain, who literally would pick out female cargo, and have sex with someone who you think is less than human. Now, you're a psychologist, Dr. Parham. Please help me to understand that.
I remember living in the South and having a coworker. This was a friendly coworker say to me one day when we were out having lunch, "You know, I don't understand why God made the difference between the blacks and the whites." And I looked at him, and I said, "Well, you don't understand why God made the difference between blacks and whites, because God didn't make a difference between blacks and whites. Man has made a difference between blacks and whites." And this was the first time he had ever thought this is a man-made concept, that there is some inherent difference between black people and white people. And I then looked at him, and I said, "I really don't understand how when white people grow up and encounter black people and realize that their parents have lied to them about black people, I don't understand how do they live with that lie." And so there is a way where oppression, and I want to mention the work of Frantz Fanon, who was a Pan-Africanism. He started the liberation movement. And he studied the psychopathology of colonization. And his work is so important because what he has taught us is that it is the human experience to oppress and to be oppressed. And once we all accept that, it then gives us an understanding of how people can do some of the things that they do. And so the question you're asking is, wow, how can white people, and not just white people, but there are other people in other civilizations who also oppress, how do they oppress to that degree? And how do they then embrace in some way the thing or the person that they're then saying is beneath me or that is deserving of being oppressed? And there's just a way where there's some things, Carol, in the human psyche and in our way of living that we have to just say, this is a part of the crazy. This is a part of individuals' ways of working through whatever experiences they're working through. And that's where, and that's, and it, It doesn't make it right. It is absolutely wrong, and you realize that it is a pathology. They're disconnected from their own humanness. They themselves are disconnected from their own humanness, and they're disconnected you from you being human. And that's what the work of Frantz Fanon talks about, and then Hussein Bouhon did a wonderful book about also the psychology of the oppression based on, because The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon is pretty deep reading. So I want to put it out there, but not everyone can manage that. But there are other writings about oppression that people need to start with. And I think once we put this story in the bigger story of oppression, it gives us a different type of an understanding.
Right. And I'm going to ask Dr. Linda Parham, who we're talking about, helping us to unpack our emotions about roots, to email me a very, very short bibliography list of this person and any other writings or teachings or books that we should be knowledgeable of, so that we can continue this discussion individually. So I'll ask her to do that offline instead of taking time now to do that. So I love the way you say this is just part of the crazy, because that's the only way to describe if having sex with cows and pigs and goats and sheep is immoral and decadent, and then you still think of black people in the same light, where they are your chattel, they are your property, then it just doesn't make any sense to me. So you sort of helped me out with that. I'm going to get off your couch, and I'm going to continue on with the questioning. So what lessons can you see?
I do want to revisit that just a little bit, Carol. I do want to say that those acts of sex, I mean, we weren't there, but they were more acts of violence. And that's a smaller part of the, I mean, the whole enslavement and the dehumanization, it's all about violence.
Yes.
And so they were acts of violence. It was really rape. And so what we're talking about, people who have so much aggression, and this is the way they are choosing to release their aggression. And that's really, you know, why, it happens to produce children, and the children actually are really just more for money.
So it's
a way that they release their anger and their tensions and their frustrations, and they produce more income for themselves.
Well, and let me absolutely agree with what you're saying. I'm actually running some sexual harassment training workshops right now, and my first statement when we talk about sexual assault and rape, I said it is an act of power. It has less to do with sex. It has everything to do with power, and in this case, violence is definitely a part of it. So thank you for saying that. You are correct in that line of thinking. So what key elements should a person who maybe is just sitting up there with their head in their hands and they've got the tissue box nearby, but they're watching Roots this time around, what should they be mindful of? What should they be thinking of with this whole topic of slavery, racism, oppression, and discrimination that perpetuates itself here in this country today?
So one of the things I want to say is when the original programming came out and the nation was watching it as a whole, we were kind of holding each other. You know, you knew every other family was watching it and they were going to be talking about it. And so the wire conversation provided some structure and support for how we process this pain, because we knew we weren't taking it in by ourselves. This go-round, because there's so much going on and it's on a cable channel and you can choose to watch it or not watch it, there's a whole different discourse in the nation about it, pros and cons. People are really left on their own to watch it. And so the first thing I want to say is one has to assess, is this the best time in my life to be watching this? Because for some people, the trauma is triggering something that may be very present. And if you're dealing with something, especially on your job or with your children, and many of us really are, the question is this the right time for you to be watching it? And the beauty of technology today is we can tape it and watch it later. So that's the first thing. One has to ask oneself, should I be watching this? If you are choosing to watch it and you're taking it in and you're having the very real experience of responding to it, that's a beautiful thing. And how you decide to release your pain and name that it hurts and name that you're in pain is actually very, very healthy. And so naming the pain and how you deal with it, do you write, do you talk, do you cry, do you put on music, do you sing? But having a way where you say, yes, this is painful, and who can I process this pain with? And it has to be a safe person who is also willing to enter that conversation with you. And as you started the program, you don't know who that person is because everyone is making a choice to embrace this or not. And some people don't want it shown, and, you know, there is some understanding about that, and other people want it shown. And so you have to be very careful about who you pick. And I want to say we have to give space for everybody to have their way of encountering the information and the story and processing it for themselves.
So if you are going to bed
and you're having nightmares and you're really unable to get up and go to work, this may not be the best time for you to be watching it. And you may want to call some friends over and have dinner and have a and let them know, we're going to have a conversation about this, a start time and an end time.
Right, right. And also, and this is where I almost made my mistake, this is my opinion, is when I started watching it or when I thought about it coming on the air, this was after I was on this show on Blab, I said, oh, I reached out and sent a text to my daughter, who at that time was a year old in 1977. Now she just turned 40. She's married and has two children. And I immediately texted her. I said, oh, maybe Juliana, who's 8 years old, should watch this show. 10 minutes in the broadcast, I text her back and then called her and said, oh, no, cancel that. She does not need to see this yet. She's too young, just because it was too violent. It is so gripping and violent and in a much more graphic way than the 1977 version, which was on mainstream TV. It was on ABC. This is on cable, so they can – the language is a lot rawer, a lot more coarse. And the sexual acts, the brutality acts are a lot more graphic. And I said, nope. So I would say anyone under the age of probably 13 or 14, and I'd like your opinion about this, probably should wait to see this. Or if they see it, they should definitely be accompanied by parents who can have a discussion about it after each broadcast.
I would agree with that, and I want to emphasize the traumatization of slavery, and so you're able to watch it and take it in, and it then triggers all of your senses, and you know, part of the reason it's traumatizing is because it's outside the realm of what one would expect in terms of human experiences, and so we don't want to prematurely expose our children to that, and one should be thinking about how do I have conversations with my child that are age-appropriate with the appropriate visualizations about our story as to how we came to the United States and about enslavement and who in our family has been enslaved, and the beauty is we survive.
Right.
You are here because our ancestors survived the Middle Passage. And so we are those that have survived. We grieve and mourn those who haven't. We celebrate those who have. And I think I want your audience to take away the grieving and the mourning, but also the celebration of this whole conversation. Some people are afraid of watching Roots is because they think they're going to stay in the angry place, in the grieving place, in the lost place. Don't remind me of that pain of my collective consciousness, my racial collective being. But yet if we don't remain conscious of that and recognize that's a vital part of our story, the reason it hurts so much is because it's not historical. It's present today.
That's true.
If we don't acknowledge that it's present today in Trayvon Martin, in all of the things, in the experiences that people have day-to-day on their jobs where they are not promoted, where they are not given salary increases, where they are given lower grades, you know, that continues with us today.
Right,
and so
right.
It triggers the pain of today. And so if we ignore it, we then cannot strategize around the pain of today, and then we can't get to the place of celebrating. But we do want to do both. We want to mourn and grieve, but we also want to celebrate appropriately. And anyone who wants to stay in any one of those places, if you only want to be angry and grieve and mourn, that's not healthy. If you don't want to acknowledge the hurt, the pain and the realities and stay in, let's just be happy that we're here today and that we have opportunities, then that's not healthy. You need a balance.
Right. Right. So true. And you have so beautifully linked the past, the shame of the past, the issues of the past, with some unfinished business in the future in terms of brutality against African Americans and other people by the police, by community people. The whole, you know, I did a blab show last week, and I was so sad by just the economic numbers, the wealth gap, not between blacks and whites. I mean, that's bad enough, Dr. Linda Parham, but the wealth income between African Americans and Asian Americans in this country, including the highest median income of any group, any racial group, which happens to be South Asians or Indians. Now, mindful, they're a small number, but because there's such a self-selected group in this country, most of them educated, many of them, if they're Hindus, they're from the Brahmin caste, and their numbers are way up, $101,000 median income versus African Americans at $101,000 median income versus we're at the bottom at $33,000 median income. So, I mean, you can go from the tragedies that take place up to the economic tragedies that are also facing us today. Where do we go with this information? And we're going to continue this conversation because it is important. Not enough people are talking about it. I think too often this conversation gets diluted with the conversation of inclusion. I have real problems with the word of inclusion because I think so much of this is unfinished business. But where, in addition to having these offline conversations with supportive friends, what else should we keep in mind when we're watching either the last episodes of Roots tonight or the rebroadcast or when you have a chance to watch it online at your convenience? Dr. Linda Parham.
Yeah, I do want to say that it is important for us to find ways to embrace this historical story of not just us as individuals in our individual stories and our family story, but our collective story. And it can be very hard to do because one is constantly, you talked about the economic wealth gap, one is constantly battling in the present. And so it is important to continue to have these conversations with yourselves, to do reading, to seek out. You may have to seek out therapy, because one of the things I want to mention is when people have experienced this level of trauma, there can be an epigenetic change. And that means that there can be a chemical marker that begins to change the DNA of the individual. And so that then impacts the DNA that is transmitted to children and to grandchildren and to great-grandchildren. And so there are lots of reasons why there are health disparities among African Americans in this country. And that impacts our day-to-day ability to work and to be healthy. So if you're talking about inheriting some sensitivities and then continuing to experience them, these are the types of things that one needs to have a deep understanding about, simply so one can strategize around how do I stay healthy spiritually, how do I stay healthy emotionally, and how do I stay healthy physically.
Right.
So spiritually, one has to acknowledge that this was never God's design.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, one has to recognize this can cause me pain, and how do I process that pain? And physically, one has to acknowledge, if I don't release the pain, if I hold on to the pain, my body will then begin to speak out that pain.
So true. And I'm just going back to what you said earlier, relating to the social construct of race, who said we're not equal. Absolutely the key point. If you're interested in learning more, please go to her website, and that's www.drlynda.org. That's www.drlynda, that's Linda with a Y, .org, and you can find out all about Dr. Linda Parham and her amazing work. Thank you so much for being a guest on my program. I thank you. We're going to have you back on, and thank you very much for listening to Focus on Empowerment. Remember that empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. We'll see you next week.